Welcome to A Bit of Insight with Lisa Mosby, your weekly dose of health, wealth, and everything else.
Hello. In a world filled with chaos, peace can feel out of reach. Rose is a visionary plant medicine used in ancient anointing practices with rose oil and remembering our place within the sisterhood of the rose lineage. Let's lean into the divine with today's guest in our show called Root to Rose, Bridging Science, Spirit, and Stillness with Dia Marie. Dia took a vow many moons ago to embody a spirit-led life devoted to bringing light into the hearts of women through sacred ceremony. Dia Marie is a dancer and movement artist at heart, and she's a ceremonialist and essential oil alchemist. She identifies as a rose medicine initiate, one who is taking her place within the sisterhood of the rose lineage. Dia Marie is currently working on a raw manuscript that is being channeled as sacred teachings of the rose scripture. Welcome, Dia Marie. Thank you so much for being with me today. I'm going to create a space here for you to share more about this. This is very intriguing, and I think it opens up our mind to look at plants and nature in a different way. So welcome, and I want you to share more about this journey of healing that you've been on, and let our audience know what is it we're going to be talking about today.
Okay, well, thank you. And I love that you have the word love on your shirt. It was the first thing that I noticed. And it can feel and sound like sugar-coated or out of our reach or something that we're working towards, that the whole world is working towards. And I feel that we've lost the simplicity and just embracing and receiving that energy. There's no one way to experience love, but if we block it and aren't truly open to receive it, it becomes out of our reach, right? It becomes a prayer. It becomes something that we're hoping for. It becomes something that we compare ourselves to someone else possibly not having. And I'll share, it is a daily devotional practice to feel that presence, to feel the essence, and to feel what the state of love is. And we don't need to do anything complex to be an embodiment of that. Now, that's not to say that there aren't tools and practices that can remind us of what that feels like. And the state of the world that we're in right now, we are calling upon practices and tools to help us along this journey. And for me, I mean, there's multiple modalities, but for me, it has been working with the symbolism and the energy and the frequency of rose medicine. If we think about roses just in our culture, they're given on Valentine's Day, they're given to show a symbol of appreciation, a symbol of love, a symbol of gratitude. They're also given and seen in weddings, a sacred rites of passage in unifying the feminine and the masculine, or the feminine and the feminine and the masculine and the masculine. They're seen at the births of children and at the deaths of the human experience. And so rose, historically and culturally, most of us can identify with roses. If we see someone walking out of a florist or walking out of the grocery store with a dozen roses, it does something to us. We're like, oh, you know, or it's like, oh, are those for me? I want some roses. And so there's a history to the rose. And when we explore the symbolism and we explore historically how rose was used in temple spaces and in ancient rites of passages, we begin to remember that that symbol itself is a representation of love. And so by identifying that, agreeing to that, and bringing her presence into our field, whether it's through having roses in the home, right? We don't need to have any special techniques or be any type of person to experience the love within roses. But if we have roses in the house, I keep some like dried rose tea here as a symbol, or work with rose oil. It brings about this remembrance of like, ah, I can be still. I can come home to peace. I can experience love and have rose as a representation, as an ally, as I shared a master plant teacher. For us, especially as women, to go deeper into who we truly are versus the titles in which, we've been given for ourselves, daughters, mothers, the titles of the jobs. Titles are wonderful as long as we don't hold on and attach to something that's outside of ourselves. But it's like, what's the essence of who we are? And I feel like the softness, the simplicity, and the beauty of a rose is an initiation to that deeper remembrance of the feminine. Yeah. How do you
Beautifully
receive
said.
that? Yeah.
The fragrance that I like to use has jasmine and rose in it, and that I see both of those plants that way. I see jasmine also as kind of that sacred feminine. That's how I use it in my experience. And I don't always wear that when I'm out in public, but I always wear it for me at home, which is funny. Most people put perfume on to go out, but nowadays you don't know what you're going to run into or how people will respond to certain scents. And I know how I respond to that scent. And I love that rose jasmine combination. And you were referring to it as a master plant, and we use plants as herbalists and as alchemists in a medicinal way. How do we use these plants as medicine? But even just holding a rose, we don't have to do anything with it. There is an air of medicine because it heals the heart. It has an affinity for the heart, which represents love. And love, for those of us that are Christian, we believe that Jesus is love. So it's all tied together. We have this natural plant material that we can bring into our space. We can put on in our bodies. We can take in the fragrance of it, and it just envelops us, and we become one with that scent and that energy of that plant. And you also talked about frequency. So there's so much here to unpack. And I think I want to start with the way that you use rose in ceremony and in ritual, because I think that describes all of these things. It covers the scent and the fragrance, and it covers the medicine, how our body might react, how our brain, our physical senses may react, and it covers the essential oils. All of those things they can come together in the experience of the retreats or the ceremonies that you hold when using the rose. So my question is, how do you prepare for those ceremonies? How do you allow and bring forth that high frequency, that 320 frequency of the rose, and allow people in your ceremonies to experience it?
Okay, so I do want to, mention, or I feel that, when we're, and it's not about religion, but here's what I love about working with the rose. It's not about religion, right? It's simply about love. So whether you're viewing as a Christian, a Catholic, Judaism, it's at its root, it's a flower. And the root, I feel, at all religions is the root of love. And so we can welcome Rose into our home, wherever, whatever walk of life that we're on, and bridging the science and the spirit and nature, because it grows in nature. So all of those woven in together, it welcomes all women, all races, all backgrounds, all religion. And as long as you show up with a commitment that you are willing to go deeper into your own exploration of feeling what love is, that energy is going to meet us there. And I'm on it every single day. Not, I don't feel and experience love every single moment of every single day, yet it's become easier to remember that I am love because of the alchemy, because of the anointing with the rose. So for preparation, in holding space, in creating a ritual or creating a ceremony, and it could be as simple as sipping tea with someone to, a 5 day, 6 day deep exploration into the feminine mysteries, is to be devoted to the medicine first. Medicine being the rose. So as I speak words, I feel that I am translating what, like if Rose was a rose was sitting next to me and it could actually speak a language, I'm able to channel the teachings because of the right relationship developed. So, meaning some people sit with blue lotus tea, and that goes back to ancient Egypt. And I wouldn't feel an integrity to speak about blue lotus, although I have knowledge. I've, been in ceremonies with blue lotus, but to represent the energy of the blue lotus wouldn't be in right relationship. And so I feel confident yet humble that I can create beautiful spaces for women because I have a devotion to sipping tea or to anointing myself with rose oil and truly just being able to speak from my own experience. It's not, this psychic ability where I'm going to predict what anyone else's experience is going to be, because I only know me and I know the depths of me. But what happens is when we really truly understand ourselves and we can speak with that confidence and humility and experience, that's what's relatable versus, a performance like, oh, and we're going to do this and that, and it's going to be beautiful, and we're going to wear these beautiful white outfits and just follow me and, just trust it. And, being an embodiment and having the medicine in me and being in conversation with other women, that's when it activates and becomes alive, because now we're connecting with one another. We're connecting through the heart. So, I mean, just put the whole rose thing aside, when you call a girlfriend and it's like, hey, let's have a cup of coffee. You want to meet for coffee? You want to meet for tea? Like, what happens? Something happens. Like, the world becomes easier. We get to relate on such a level of humanity as women who all share very similar experiences. We've all had or have or had had a womb at some point. We've all bled, we've all grieved, we've all had conflict, we've all, had broken hearts. We've all experienced joy. We've all experienced birth. We've all, there's so much that we share together. And working and bringing in some rose medicine, I personally feel it takes us so much deeper. And so bringing it in myself, speaking from experience, opening up a sacred space as an invitation to explore our own journeys and our own paths as divine feminine. And I love that phrase, divine feminine, divine masculine. We're all here through the divine, by the divine. We're here with purpose. And ultimately, I believe we're here to experience love. And I don't feel we can experience it in solitude all the time. And so, whether it's having that cup of rose tea with a sister or going deep into 5, 6, 7 days in a retreat together, you experience alchemy of the soul. You don't leave the same as you came in. You leave with a different perspective. You leave with a lightness and a sense of empowerment too, in that you're discerning to what either adds value or takes away value from your life. And I know that's like a those are big statements for a rose. And again, it's the symbology of the rose and how she was used in ceremony in temple spaces thousands of years ago. This isn't, new age work. This is, oh, I'm actually remembering doing this on Egyptian land, or I remember being in this interesting circle with these women and, pouring water on women's hair and rubbing them with honey and, and connecting in such a way of not just survival, but that true essence of being a woman in this world. And when we create context in a ceremonial way, it sort of like clo temporarily closes the doors and the windows of everything else that is taking place in the world. And it's like all love, all energy is on you, and you have that opportunity to just be in it, to bathe in it, to bask in it, to receive messages and receive teachings from that. And that's the beauty of ceremonial and sacred spaces working with rose.
There's a lot there to unpack. The first thing that sits with me is when you said that it's like the rose is sitting next to you and you're communicating with it. And as an herbalist, that is exactly what we do. We go lay in a field of plants. We go lay in we bring plants into our home. I travel with, I have over 200 essential oils and about 25 different dried herbs because I live out of my car and I'm traveling around the country. I travel with them. I will sit and make tea and have conversations with people because just that cup of tea is a ritual. I have a ritual every morning. I greet the sun with my coffee. When I say coffee, that it's loosely coffee. It has mushrooms in it. It might have dandelion root or chicory root, but I say coffee because it's the morning drink that's warm that people drink. But mine has all of these plants and these oils and things that are coming from nature that allow me to connect with the day as the sun comes up. So there is a sacred language that happens with plants and herbalists. That's their job is to study it. It's to consume it, to wear it, to share it, to drink it, to understand how it energetically affects the body because it can heat us up, it can cool us down, it can shift us into, to speed to get the blood flowing faster. It can slow the blood moving down. So there's all these different, and that's why you keep using the word alchemy. This is part of that alchemy process, but it's also the communication of us and how we integrate with the earth and how we integrate with the land. So I love how you bring that together with women and teach them this and allow them to take that in and allow them to go back into their world and find what fits for them. Maybe they're not going to dive into the rose and have the relationship that you have with it, but it's still an access point for people to create their own morning ritual, whether it's the sunrise with tea or the sunset with tea or the sunset with an oil anointing. Whatever fits for you, you get to create that ritual. And that I find that to be incredibly beautiful with what you've shared. The other piece is when you went into the ritual itself. It's not. When we think of rituals, sometimes I think you said it's not about wearing the white clothes and doing the things, and it's not a show. Ritual is, to me, that's the stillness. When I've seen pictures and videos of you bringing people together in that ritual process, there's a stillness, a spirit of stillness that I experience even through those videos and watching things. And I know you didn't always start with Rose. I was fascinated with what you did with the cacao seminar, the cacao ceremonies, because again, that's another plant that I feel really connects for so many women. We often talk about chocolate. There's something about it, that raw cacao and drinking of that and consuming of it. And coming together around it. So tying these pieces together, there's a personal healing journey that these things, I know for me, there's a personal healing journey that plants took me through. And so I'm curious if you'd like to speak to your own personal journey. I hear how you can share it with others, but how has this become part of who you are today, from where you are from a couple of years ago? There's been a lot of change that I've seen, a lot of growth, a lot of change that's happened in your world and in your life and in your persona and how you show up in the world. And I know that you attribute a lot of the plants and the alchemy to that. So I'd love to hear you speak to your personal journey with the ritual and the plants.
Okay, beautiful. Yes. And we are, what was that saying when we were kids? Like, you are what you eat, right? So, I mean, your journey with herbs as an herbalist, and I mean, we are what we, yeah, I mean, we are what we eat, we are what we think, we are what we drink. And yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because when we take something internally, it does mesh with, I mean, it meshes with our prebiotics, our probiotics, our digestive system, and it alchemizes in our stomach. So,
Whether it's plants or sugar, the same could be said true about dead food versus living food versus
and that's a
energy.
whole other,
Whole nother ball game. Yeah, we're not saying it's exclusive to the plant world, but we've both had experiences with the plants, and that's I think your story is fascinating, so I'll let you speak to that.
Okay. Want to speak into the cacao just for a moment to give reverence to it because it is known as a plant medicine also in Central America, in South America, and also Hawaii and other areas that are lush that can grow the cacao tree and harvest the cacao plant. And so if you're not familiar, anyone who's listening with cacao, it's pure raw organic chocolate, right? Like not your Hershey's or added artificial sweeteners or sugar to it. It's very bitter. And the essence of cacao came into my field around 2017. And so I don't want to spiral into that story, but I'm very connected to non-psychoactive plant medicines. So the herbs, the chocolate, the rose, which is why I call it, a visionary teacher, things that grow within our earth who are receiving energy, light from the sun, who's being, what's being nourished in the soil. That's medicine for us, whether it's the food, whether it's, a rose, whether it's rosemary, the teas, herbs, oils, things like that. Cacao is in the category of a heart opener. I spent some time in Guatemala because I was really called to work with the women who were packaging this for me when I was ordering it and serving it, and I just felt it was a responsibility to say, hey, let me go to the land which this is being harvested and prayed over by the Guatemalan women. So it's known as a heart opener. And I truly believe that by sitting with cacao for many years, it did just that. You know, it's not really anything that can be explained. It did just that. It opened my heart. And when we have an open heart, we're able to fill any places of, you know, pain or wounding with love. And that takes a level of consciousness because it is so easy to hold on to anger or hold on to pain. What's that? You know, like you're holding on to a piece of coal and you're only hurting yourself. So it takes a level, I feel, of spiritual maturity to say, okay, this happened. This was my past. This no longer needs to be my present or my future experience. I would say, over 50 ceremonies with serving cacao. And again, I drank it first. Again, it wasn't like, oh, I'm experimenting. Let me hold these safe, sacred containers for you to have an experience. So the relationship that you get to create, even if it is with, you know, a certain type of tea leaf, I would have it on an altar, just have it in my home. And be in a relationship with it in that way, just like we would with our like significant others. We continue to learn about them and about your relationship by spending time, right? By experimenting, by exploring, by letting go of the attachment of what this actually needs to be or having expectations. It's a natural process of relationship. And it is a calling. Not everyone's called to cacao, and that's fine. Not everyone's called to, you know, psilocybin mushrooms. Not everyone's called to an ayahuasca. Not everyone will be called to rose medicine. But what you are, when you do get curious or a calling, first build that relationship just by having it in your space. And I truly believe that the cacao led me to a place of having an open heart, doing a lot of deep inner healing of, you know, past relationships. And then Rose presented herself when she wanted me to lean into, I'd say, the role of a teacher myself. And I'm a teacher at heart. I taught elementary school for 11 years. I worked with second graders for so many years. I've taught dance. I've taught ballet. Like I've taught meditation. I teach yoga. So there's some, you know, my DNA, you know, if we were to take a DNA test from like 3000 BC, I'm sure I was a teacher. I was a feminine leader of some sort. I always taught what I embodied. And rose medicine is taking me deeper into that initiation of taking the role of leadership. Yeah, I'm going to pause there. I hope that answers. I kind of, yeah. Yeah, that's the journey. That's the journey.
Sure. The things that popped out for me were it being a daily practice, that it doesn't have to be ritual like it ha like Christmas is a ritual, happens once a year, or other holidays that people turn into these ritual experiences. And with herbal practices or herbal learning, it's a daily practice. I know when I first started studying herbs, we would sit with one herb for the month. I know you do it for much, much longer. It's been a much longer process, but when I was trained, it was you'd sit with an herb for a month. So you would consume it in all the different ways, and you would use it on your body, you would use it in your soaps, you would use it in your shampoos, or in your, you'd make tea and bathe in it. There you would see how your body responded to it. You would learn the energetics of it. Is it cooling me? Is it heating me? And then you would learn the spiritual aspect of it. So that's where the stillness and the spirit are starting to connect as we spend time with and get to know some of these herbal remedies that are available. I'll use the word remedy, but that's not what I mean. The herbal world that surrounds us. We can walk out in nature and sit in a field of dandelions and have an incredible experience. I was blessed to have an amazing experience with sunflowers just this past week. There are four fields in the area that I'm staying right now of these massive, massive, massive sunflower fields. And you walk into the middle of these with the bees and the bugs and the activity, and they're over my head. I'm 5'8", so them, they're towering. They're 6 feet tall, and they are hugging you, and they're all leaning to the sun. And I find myself looking to the sun and modeling what it is that they're doing, and they're just there communicating with you. That joy, that pure, for me, that yellow represents healing and health, and you're standing in the midst of that, and it's just pouring its energy into you. So we get to experience these things in spirit, but stillness needs to be surrounded. Like we get still with them, whether it's a cup of tea and the steam is coming off and you're smelling it. I keep coming back to the ritual. I don't mean to do that, but everything, I am very ritualistic in how I live my life. Everything, I have these ritual practices, like even when I take a bath or when I take a shower, I have certain perfumes or certain soaps or certain towels, the way that I, tie my hair up, all of those things, because it just brings us to that place. And I'm going to come back to that word, love, where we started this whole conversation. When we start to embody some of these experiences, we start to bubble up that love that's within us, and it starts to flow out to everyone around us. That's what plants do for me. When I started learning about them, they grounded me because I'm, that sign that needs someone to hold the balloon strings, because I'm the balloon up there just bouncing around, and plants bring me back to the earth and help me to settle in. So, how can we encourage and inspire our audience today to experience maybe not the rose, maybe not cacao, but something that they can feel the way that we're describing, bring up some of these sensations so that they can have their own interaction. Maybe it is a rose. Find somebody who has a rose garden, and maybe the petals are starting to fade. You don't even need to have that perfect bloom. Leave that for them, but see if you can pick a couple of those roses, take the petals, break them apart, and experience them. But do you have some suggestions on how we can invite people into these experiences on a small level? And then if somebody wants to pursue more, we'll let them know how they can get in touch with you.
Yes. So one of the main reasons why I left teaching was I had to wake up really quick to the sound of an alarm clock with very limited space in the morning for myself. As soon as my alarm clock went off, everything became about the classroom and what was going to happen once that first bell rang. It became a conditioning, though, over the 11 years. And when I began the practice of meditation about 7 years into teaching, I began to realize that that lifestyle wasn't congruent for the way that I wanted to feel, even though I tried. I mean, I stuck it out for many more years. I'd set the alarm even a little bit earlier, but now we're talking, 4:30 a.m. and still going to bed late because there's papers to grade and, parents to get back to. So my devotion was, I will not do anything before 9 a.m., meaning that couple hours, and that's shifted and changed over the years, but that's what it needed to be in the beginning to create sacred time with myself, to hear myself, to feel myself, to experience myself, and not make my day about everyone outside of myself. It needed to become about me first for a very long time, like strictly. And that practice didn't need to be anything super, in depth. It was simply not waking up to the alarm clock. and allowing myself, even if I still got up early, which I did, but it was a different feeling of like, oh, I get to wake up and I get to make my coffee because I am a morning coffee person. And I love being with the sunrise during coffee. As the natives teach here in Sedona, you know, that's one of the most important doors, gates of the day. It's a new day. We are a new person. We don't need to be who we were the day before. We get to journal. We get to just sit still. And for some, that may be very challenging if you're not used to giving yourself that time. There's a lot of things that may come up with that. Like, oh, I feel like I'm not doing enough, or oh, I feel guilty, or oh, because I'll still experience it years into it and years later. So it is like a deep programming and conditioning to give ourselves that ritual in the morning, going for a walk. I feel like there's nothing better we can do for ourselves is literally go for a walk and stop and smell the roses. Like, or whatever flower is around there, and embrace the beauty of what's all around us because we miss it. We miss it when we're constantly in fight or flight and, you know, so attached to our schedules and other people's schedules and agendas. It takes us away from who we really are. And over time, there will be a balance that happens with that. But a great beginning practice, I feel like, is the morning. Like, just shh. Like, don't turn the TV on. Don't even turn your phone on. You know, don't schedule, you know, your first call of the day before you've even given yourself that time to connect with yourself and affirm how you want the rest of your day to look for yourself. Yeah, that's what I teach.
Yeah. There's something that happens when we come together for retreats in sacred circles, when we join together in community. And we're drawn to that. And people walk away from that filled up, their cup is full, and then we get back into our real life. And somehow we seem to lose that. And so the idea is pick a time, morning, noon, night, whenever it is for you. Find that space in your world, because I know the majority of the listeners here have probably been on some sort of a retreat of some sort. You've gone away for a weekend, you've done a girls' weekend. There's just an energy, a vibrance that comes through you when you get to come in community like that. But we need to learn to create that for ourselves. And I'm, you know, been single for quite a few years now, and I've had to create that because it's something that I enjoyed a lot of. I had a lot of that when I lived in Nevada. When we were closer in space, it was a weekly occurrence with Stacy and the big community that we had built there in Las Vegas. So I hope that we've inspired the audience today to find some of those ways to create ritual, to create stillness. I struggle a lot with peace. You know, I've had a lot, you know, a tumultuous ups and downs, a divorce, and taking care of my parents for 7 years. And the thing that stayed consistent is I could close my eyes, take a breath, and find that peace and stillness within my own heart. Just take time for me throughout the day, whether it was on the hour, whether it was at sunrise, at sunset, but finding that peace. And sometimes scents, like the rose that has a high frequency, can help us to get there quickly. We can smell those essential oils, we can put them on our bodies, and we can calm our nervous system down, and we can take a minute for ourselves. If that's where you need to start, if that's your entry point. Today, we're here to bring you back to yourself, to introduce you to the journey of getting back to yourself and finding that peace and calm. Dia, if people want to connect with you, maybe attend one of your retreats or go deeper on this subject, where do they find you?
Right now, Instagram is the best place to connect with me, and they can find me at Root to Rose Alchemy. And you can, yeah, view some of my live videos that I do on there. I am pretty consistent with connecting with my audience. This way you can get to know who I am, not just, you know, through a post or you know, written words, but get to know me, my voice, my energy, my frequency, and ask any questions through there, if anyone's curious. And curious to learn more about working more deeply with Rose Medicine. Looking forward to a 7-week journey, Rose Dieta, where we're in right relationship with the energy of Rose. If anyone is inspired to work directly with the energy of Rose, too, and see how she may develop a deeper sense of connection to who you are as a sacred divine feminine in our world today.
Beautiful. Whether you are would like to approach this from the science, the spirit, or the ritual, the rose is a gift that we can all access. So I feel free to take advantage of that and reach out to my listeners. You know, maybe today you had an opportunity to pause. You know, we've reflected on a lot of different things, and I would invite you, like I do every week. There's some sort of a challenge or invitation. I would invite you to find that fragrance, find that scent, whether it's the dandelion outside or my grandmother loved peonies. Maybe you say peonies, but peonies. Find that flower that's in your yard. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, bring that in, and just sit with it for 5, 10, 15, or 20 minutes. 20 minutes can change your brain. It can change your body. It can change your perspective. It can calm your nervous system and bring peace within your system. So imagine what is possible if you gave yourself that gift today. And after you do that, we invite you to come back next week. So thank you so much to my guest, Dia Marie, for being here and shedding some light on this and for bringing us back to ourselves, like to take some calm, to sit with each other, share some of these fun things that we've done together and talk about rituals. Women love to embrace rituals, and we are stepping so far away from them that maybe this is something that we can bring back in a small way and share with our friends, our community around us. So again, come on back, everybody. We'll see you next week. We'll have another extraordinary woman talking to you. Thanks for being with us today. Bye. Thanks for joining me on A Bit of Insight. To get more involved with our wellness community, grab a copy of my book, Live Well, Travel Far, or to explore our travel offerings, visit the website at insightcenterforwellness.com. And if today's episode gave you something to think about, leave a review and please share it with a friend. This is Lisa Mosby reminding you to live well, travel far, and always follow your insight.